Hi, I'm Alois Bunjira, and you're listening to the ZFM Sport Podcast.
Z. And it's Messi! It is the cleanest of clean finishes and the best on the planet.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Good afternoon, the news on ZFM. I am Martha.
Good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to ZFM Sport on a Monday after a big weekend in the world of sport, especially at Qatar 2022. We are now entering the business stage of the tournament. We'll be giving you, of course, the headlines coming out of Qatar a bit later on. But what you can look forward to in the first half of the show, on the home front, FC Platinum forward Walter Musona was confirmed as the Soccer Star of the Year at a glamorous award ceremony that was held in Harare on a Friday. We'll be running through some of the big winners on the night and trying to see, of course, if they met our permutations and our predictions in the build-up that we had on a Friday evening. We'll also pay tribute to renowned Zimbabwean golf coach Roger Bayliss, who is credited with producing some of the country's best golfers following the news that he passed away on Saturday at the age of 84. In Around the World in 60, we have updates from Pakistan, England, as well as the United States. And in the studio, Barry Menandi, Chris Midzi, Alois Munjira, Sean Tafirinyika, our producer, and my name is Mike Madoda.
You know, Kasalaga World Football reporter Senegal coach Aliou Cisse bemoaned his team's defensive lapses after England brushed the African champions aside 3-0 in the World Cup last 16, admitting there had been a gulf in quality. France coach Didier Deschamps hailed the impact of Kylian Mbappe as his second half double gave the World Cup holders a 3-1 win over Poland to move them into the quarterfinals. And in tonight's action, South Korea will aim to pull off yet another shock when they take on five-time champions Brazil in a last 16 showdown at the stadium, 9-7-4.
The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
We'll start your local sports news wrap with some rugby news, where the Cheetahs won the Shield at the Dubai Invitational Sevens with a 19-14 victory over the ASM Clermont Auvergne of France in the final played at the Sevens Stadium in Dubai on Saturday. The Graham Colback coach side finished third in their pool after two wins and one loss, as their points different saw them move over to the bowl side of the competition. In cricket news, Tuskers all-rounder Sean Williams was thrilled by his team's performance after his side began their defence of the Logan Cup title with a hard-fought 76-run win over Rocks at Old Hararians yesterday. The Zimbabwe all-rounder scored 99 runs in the first innings and then backed his fine batting contribution with 11 match wickets during the four-day first-class cricket game. And we'll finish off with the Region 5 games, where Zimbabwe's national netball under-20 side gave themselves a huge lift by winning their opening tie against Zambia at the Griffin Court yesterday. The Young Gems needed to win the match to lay off their path for what could be a difficult campaign by clipping the Zambians 44-33 in a tie that silenced the raucous home support.
From Rufaro to Barberfield, Mandava to Nyamunga, all the perfect moments in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League come together on ZFM Sport.
This is ZFM Sport, and of course, up first on the home front, we're taking a look at the awards night, the Soccer Stars of the Year ceremony that was held on a Friday. Walter Musona, one of the favourites going into the awards ceremony, and he was confirmed as the Soccer Star of the Year for season 2021-2022. His 14 goals and 6 assists propelling the Zishabane-based FC Platinum to their fourth consecutive league championship, and of course, he beat competition from Caps United's William Manondo, who picked the first run-up accolade, and Dynamo's defender Frank Makarati, who came in third. Let's hear from the Soccer Star of the Year, Walter Musona.
First of all, I want to thank God for giving me this challenge. I also want to thank everyone who voted for me. It was not an easy season for us as FC Platinum. I think we worked very hard.
It wasn't an easy season for FC Platinum. The team worked very hard and crunch time, the second half of the season, Alois Mungira, when, of course, the big boys get moving. FC Platinum did exactly that. And at the very heart of their fine performances was Walter Busona.
Yeah, I think Walter Busona, especially towards the end of the season when they badly needed a superstar to actually drive them, you know, to actually uplift them to with confidence, he came through. You know, he showed leadership, you know, and experience as well. You know, he led by example, creating goals, scoring goals, and actually pushing the team forward. They badly needed that. Usually a team that wins the championship, they need a player that does that.
That drives them towards glory.
Yes.
And so Walter Busona
came,
was that,
he came through, he raised his hand and actually said, I'm here, and he did it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another player who's raised his hand is Ivan Perisic, the Tottenham attacker, and he has just scored a wonderful header for Croatia versus Japan. As good a header as you'll see anywhere. I mean, bullet header, Barry. It's one you'd have been proud of as a striker.
Yeah. I haven't been known for my heading prowess, to be honest. I think I've got a head made of clay more than anything, but certainly sir, as a striker, absolutely fantastic. He and also he jackknifed it, which means that he put it down into the ground, headed it down, which is the number one rule of hitting a ball into the net. Put it in the corner, keeper had no chance. And so, great equaliser for Croatia.
Yeah, absolutely. 57 minutes played now in that game. It's, of course, the round of 16 in Qatar. And it's now Japan 1, Croatia, the 2018 finalists, losing finalists. They are now level. It's now 1-0 Perisic with the equaliser. Let's get back to the awards. And, of course, the first runner-up, William Manondo. Hardly any surprises there, Chris. I think it was really a toss-up between Walter Msona and William Manondo. And going in William Manondo's favour was the fact that he was the top goal scorer,
yes,
in the league, and also the fact that he was playing for a Caps United side that for three quarters of the season struggled.
Yeah, definitely. I think the similar parallel we can draw there is that Walter Msona also raised his hand for his team, and I think William Manondo did the same. Like you rightly pointed out, Caps United, not necessarily a bed of roses this season, not the best place to be playing, not the easiest place to be playing either, but when you're in that team, you manage to still score goals, come out top goal scorer. I think it says something about the quality of player you are, and the consistency with which he played throughout the season, I think, is very evident in terms of these awards, but also that he was top goal scorer.
And maybe the place where he lost it, Barry, is the second half of the season, because he started off like a house on fire the second half of the season. First half of the season, William Manondo was scoring, and everyone thought, you know, probably at the halfway stage, he probably edged it in terms of the standout player in the league. But there was a time he just sort of like went flat, and that may have cost him the opportunity of winning the top gong, because at the time he dipped, Walter Msona kind of like peaked.
And that's where the team comes in, because when you go down, the team's got to then rally for you. And you notice when his performances went down, Caps United performances went down as well. They weren't scoring goals either. So consequently, I think the entire performance of the Green Machine went down, and he was collateral damage as a result of that. For Walter Msona, it was the opposite, whereby as the team pushed, made that final push for the championship, he was then scoring goals because the chances were being created for him to tuck away.
You know, that's where I always tell players that sometimes, never mind the problem that is bedeviling your club, play for yourself. You know, come together and play for these boys. They should have actually realized that, guys, you know, I'm gonna marry, but let's go, let's push on. He was let down by what is happening, what was happening, but what did he do as a player? Guys, he also didn't play his part in knowing that. I'm talking from inside information,
okay,
that, you know what, he also let him down, let himself down, because his friends and everybody else, they knew at the halfway mark that he was already there. Let's push, guys. You know, some these
notwithstanding the fact that you're psychologically,
it's a bit tough, yeah, though.
It is tough.
For a guy who did manage to finish as the top goal scorer. ahead of players who are probably better paid and playing in better teams.
And I think we underestimate just what that mental strength takes to know that you are not making an income. You are coming from home every single day to go and battle it out for literally nothing sometimes for these players. So I think it's something not to underrate, but that he finished at this level, I think, is still incredible.
I hear that argument so many times, Alois, and of course, I think they are, of course, there's merit to the argument, but I sort of like take a look at the situation where even in Europe, players who are already millionaires, who are earning hundreds of thousands, refuse to take pay cuts, refuse to pull finger unless they are paid.
Yeah.
So you,
and it affects their performances.
And it affects their performances as well. And so I'm thinking to myself, you know what? You know, it's I understand it's one of those situations where you're thinking, okay, you know what? Things are what they are. But how do we change things if constantly the players are the ones that have to make the sacrifice?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. But coming from
a free pass?
No, I'm not.
If the players have to be the ones working hard, sacrificing, doing
their
consistently, just doing it in spite of the environment, then what motivation is there for the club administrator to be better and do better?
I hear you, Mike. I hear you. But as a footballer, if I am ambitious enough, I see where I am going. It's just one season and I'm out of there. And what do? I make sure that I sacrifice for that season. I've been down that road. Mm. I know exactly how it feels. But you know what, guys? I'm playing for myself. Sometimes there is a sacrifice. Can I go to the bridge, guys, for these 2 months? To go to the bridge, but I'm working for tomorrow. I know what is happening tomorrow.
But it's a team sport, though.
Yeah,
It is. But when you are in that team, you have got your comrades in that team.
Who are also hungry and not being paid.
No one's had a meal.
They haven't had a meal.
This I'm talking from experience.
Yeah, let's put it to the listener out there. 0731 168 0045, your thoughts on that situation. Messages are starting to come in. Leon from Mutare, very strange message this one here, because he says FC Platinumanza in a competition local, they have the financial muscle. Chete, don't overpraise Musona. This sounds like a very bitter, jealous fan
who wasn't watching the game.
These are the sort of messages I dismiss, because you know what, sorry, the argument, Chris, that FC Platinum Inemari and they are using financial muscle is one of the most ludicrous and stupidly thought arguments ever. Why? Because you have a Zimplats that probably pours more money into Ngezi Platinum Stars than is being poured into FC Platinum. Where are their league titles? Where are their trophies? Where are their soccer stars of the year? You got Dynamos and Highlanders, who had the security of Secunda money this season. Where are their league championships? And where are their trophies?
Money does not win titles. We're going to say it over and over and over. Money does not win titles. If money won titles, I think the biggest contender in Zimbabwean football would be Zimplats. And how many titles have they?
Oh, I've got an antithesis. Oh, I just remembered. Blanche Chiefs.
Yes.
Didn't have a penny to their name at the end of the season, and they won the Super Cup.
They won a trophy.
A trophy.
And in that journey, they beat Highlanders in the semi-finals of the competition.
It's not about money.
And one more thing: if I look at the personnel at FC Platinum, I can put my hand up and guarantee that their wage bill is less than a lot of other teams.
Yes. I would agree with that.
If you look at the players, the youngsters, and all that. I would put my head on the block that their wage bill is not higher than Highlanders, Dynamos, Cape United.
Because for me, is money what produced Tando Ngwenya?
No, it's not.
No,
it's not.
All the youngsters
it's
that they produce.
That's
development.
Vision and direction.
Oscar Bebe, Kelvin Mangiza.
They are not on high salaries.
No.
So I think, you know what, we just need to get over this jealous streak that we have.
And watch games, FC, guys. Please start watching football.
Yes.
Go out, or even, listen, their broadcast now. When you hear that FC Platinum is on the screen, at least just do yourself a favor and tune in. And watch FC Platinum, and you'll know why they're champions season in, season out. They're playing some phenomenal football.
All right, let's run through the big winners on the night. Like we say, the three soccer stars of the year: Walter Musona, William Manondo, the first runner-up; Frank Makarati of Dynamos, the second runner-up; Fans Player of the Year, Tino Menza. Chris' social media campaign. Tino Benza bags the award. Some people have cried out, you know, all sorts of conspiracy theories, etc. But ultimately, when something is put to the vote and then you don't vote, don't complain when the outcome comes against your wishes.
And here's the thing. If you've got an award like this and you make the effort to actually get a campaign going, or someone does it on your behalf and you get the votes, you get the votes. Yes. I think as Zimbabweans, first of all, voting is something we enjoy. So go get go and do the voting.
You got the school. I'm sure his dad organized for the school to vote for him. And if you couldn't commandeer your people for your player.
Guys, how many Man of the Match awards did Marvelous Nakamba win
on the back of
Zimbabwean votes, some of which he didn't, in fact 90% he didn't even deserve.
We would
go and vote in our numbers. So hey guys, next year make sure you vote for your favorite
and campaign for
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Right, let's go Let's go to the coach of the year. That's Norman Mapeza. Golden Boot winner is William Manondo. Referee of the year, Martin Chivandi. The first runner-up, Faith Moloi. Most promising young player, Jaden Baraka. Goalkeeper of the year is Nelson Chajga. Those were the big winners on the night. Quick break, and when we return, we are talking, of course, golf, and we pay tribute to the late Roger Bayliss.
From the front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. The Warriors, the Chevrons, the Cheetahs, the Mighty Warriors, and the Sables. From the pool to the track to the field, we are Team Zimbabwe.
One of the stalwarts of Zimbabwe sport has passed away. That is golf coach Roger Bayliss, who was credited with producing some of the country's best golfers. He passed away on Saturday at the age of 84. Bayliss, who poured his life into the game of golf, helped establish the careers of some of the country's leading golfers, such as the Vincent brothers, Scott and Kyron, and former USPGA Tour campaigner Brendan De Jong. Now, former Harare mayor, His Worship Muchadei Masunda, a keen sports fan and a pundit, knew Roger Bayliss very well and says the legendary golf coach leaves a lasting legacy.
Yes, Roger and I had a very close working relationship that started in December 1983 when he was not only the teaching pro at Warren Hills Golf Club, but he also ran the pro shop there. And he helped us a lot as we were comparatively new to the game of golf as Shumba's Golf Society. And quite a lot of the members of the Shumba's Golf Society received, some initial coaching. You know, they've seen through their paces by Roger. But more importantly, or equally important, was the fact that they were able to keep themselves out, you know, from Roger's pro shop at Warren Hills Golf Club. He then moved from there to Henry Chapman Golf Club in 1986, when his association with members of the Shumba's Golf Society continued from there. And I remember serving with him on the inaugural Zimbabwe Open Golf Committee, you know, in 1985 with the legendary golfers like the now late Anderson Rosike. And that committee was the precursor of the present Zim Open Committee, which has made it possible for this country to host the Zim Open, you know, since 1985, with a few gaps here. And I think we missed out on 2 years because of COVID, amongst other issues. But Roger made an indelible footprint as a member of the Zimbabwe Junior Golf Association. He saw through, you know, his hands in a number of juniors, you know, and amongst the notable juniors that went through Roger's hands were the Vincent brothers, you know, Scott and more recently Karen, who are making names not only for themselves but also for Zimbabwe in the Asian circuit. And those are all Roger's proteges, and I'm really, you know, we're indebted as a country to all the work that Roger did. And I was persuaded by Roger to sponsor the Mutch Masinde Trophy, which was a national golf tournament staged over 72 holes, you know, by most of the top North junior golfers. And Roger was also a staunch member of the Nomads Golf Club, which has been in existence from time immemorial. And the Nomads, you know, just get together once a month every Sunday to play golf and also to raise funds for a number of charitable bodies. And Roger, from running the pro shop and being the teaching pro at Andy Chapman, he moved over to Royal Arari Golf Club and took over the pro shop there and became the teaching pro, ably assisted by his son, Mike. And he did a damn good job there, you know, and until in later years when health issues started giving him a bit of a problem. And Mike also moved to a more lucrative, you know, teaching pro post in South Africa. So I think that's when Roger just reverted to running the pro shop at Andy Chapman Golf Club. But my enduring memory of Roger was when we traveled together to the Eisenhower Golf Tournament, which was hosted on African soil for the first time ever since inception of the tournament in 1958. And this was in October, November 2006, when Roger and I took a team of three to Stellenbosch in Western Cape. And the remarkable thing about that team was that it was made up of caddies. And I think that was the first time in the history of the Eisenhower tournament that we had a country represented by caddies. But, you know, we had introduced a policy during my presidency of Zimbabwe Golf Association in 2006, a policy that simply said the main selection criterion would be ability to play as opposed to ability to pay. And Roger had a tremendous network of people in the golfing world. And we got a lot of resources thrown in our direction because just about everybody, the corporate sponsors, wanted to associate themselves with this whole project that culminated in Zimbabwe being represented by four caddies. And it was quite a remarkable trip that we spent with the boys, you know, for, you know, just almost 2 weeks in Cape Town. So Roger left an indelible mark, as I said, in the development of golf in this country. And a number of golfers got golf scholarships that were tenable at various universities in the United States of America. And that was all in no small measure due to Roger Bayliss and the impeccable networks that he had developed over the years. So as a country, we have lost an iconic you know, and remarkable golf coach, you know, and I think the Zimbabwe Golf Association should do something as a memento, you know, to remember Roger.
That is, of course, the former mayor of Harare, His Worship Muchadei Masunda, and of course, SRC, former SRC board member as well.
Board member,
I think,
and
the
chair,
inaugural, and chair as well. The inaugural SRC, I think SRC, he was part of that, and he knew Roger Bayliss very well, Barry. Mm-hmm. And Roger Bayliss gone to rest, and he leaves a very lasting legacy as far as golf is concerned.
Sure, when you look at his legacy, I mean, it's a who's who of Zimbabwean golf. You can tell that he made an indelible mark, as you quite rightly pointed out. You talked about the Scott and Kieran Vincent, you talked about Brendan de Jong, but you add to that Mark Kayu, players who all made a dent on the Zim Open. Gary Thompson as Tomo.
GT. Okay.
GT was part of Bruce McDonald, Nyasha Mauchaza, Clive Nguru, Ray Badenhurst. And then you look at the amateurs, top amateurs like Keegan Schutt. You remember Keegan Schutt, he made quite a dent on the amateur scene, but also in the Zim Open was there and thereabouts. And then only in the weekend did he fall away. To and Margaret Nyamukundiwa, and of course David Am. David Am, another amateur who's made a huge splash on some of the Sunshine Tour sanctioned events that have taken place here and in Zambia. So I think, look, he's left his mark on Zimbabwean golf, and his legacy will live on through the players that went through his hands. And yeah, you could say gone too soon, because you want these people to live forever, but nobody actually does.
Well, Barry, you talked, of course, he leaves a legacy in the players that he's got an outstanding record, coached over 80 youngsters who subsequently turned professional over a period of 40 years. Shucks. That is a phenomenal record. And a lot of people, Chris, might not know about Roger Bayliss in terms of who he is, where he came from, where he was born. What's his life story?
So he was born in Gloucester, that's in the west of England, in 1938. He only discovered golf at the age of 20, actually. And he then moved to Zimbabwe in 1979 to be a professional golfer at Warren Hills Golf Club. And he caddied for one of the country's finest golfers, that was Teddy Webber at the time. And after that stint at Warren Hills, he moved to Chapman in 1986. He was the head professional until he retired recently, actually. And he was so passionate about the game of golf that he actually ran weekly free junior clinics, and that was across 4 decades.
Wow.
I think for any kind of career, that's an immense achievement, and to do that just out of sheer passion, I think is something incredibly special. So he suffered from arthritis that was towards the end of his coaching career, which made it difficult for him to walk, but he did remain incredibly committed to the development of golf in the country. And when it comes to just how this game grew and just the amount of time and hours he put into this game for Zimbabwe, incredible.
Hi, my name is Runi Shamba, my Toria's super striker. You're listening to ZFM Sports.
Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
We take off in Pakistan, where fast bowlers Ollie Robinson and James Anderson took 4 wickets apiece as England pulled off an exciting 74-run win over Pakistan in the first test in Rawalpindi. Anderson took 4 for 36 and Robinson 4 for 50 in a placid pitch to dismiss Pakistan for 268 for only their third test win in an Asian country. Head over to England, where Tyson Fury calls for fights against Oleksandr Usyk and Joe Joyce in 2023 after retaining his WBC World Heavyweight title by brutally stopping Derek Chisora. Fury dominated from the start, and with Chisora's eyes starting to close, referee Victor Loughlin stopped the fight 9 seconds before the end of the 10th round at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And we'll touch down in the United States, where LA Lakers star Anthony Davis received MVP chants from fans at the Capital One Arena after he dropped 55 points in a 130-119 win over the Washington Wizards. As the ball fell through the hoop late in the fourth quarter, Davis racked up his 49th and 50th point of the night as cries of MVP, MVP rung around the arena.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. The Casalaga Premier Soccer League. La Liga. Serie A. The English Premier League. The Bundesliga. It all comes together with the Castles on the Casalaga World Football Report. Jogo Bonito, Tiki Taka, Total Football. It's a football celebration where only the best are invited. Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, Benzema. The stars come out to play on your Qatar 2022 World Cup update on CFM Sport.
We're in Qatar 2022. It's the FIFA World Cup. We're down to the business end, which means it's knockout football, and that started on Saturday night, where we saw various games played, and we're going to review for them for you. But first, just a quick update as to what's happening with the match that's currently underway right now. It is Japan taking on Croatia, and either we are in for the first bout of extra time in this World Cup, or we're going to see later drama, because 84 minutes played. The scoreline is currently 1-1. Japan 1, Croatia 1. So we'll keep you appraised as to what's happening in there. Japan creating their own share of the opportunities. So is Croatia. So it's delicately poised. And as we say, it's going to go one way or the other. In my view, very quickly, Mike, Japan has punched well above, I would say, their weight, because they're playing the runners-up in the last edition of the World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think Croatia are still at the same level they were 4 years ago, because I think 4 years ago they had a number of players who were at the peak of their powers. A big miss for this Croatia side has been Rakitic residing or retiring from the international scene. He's out at Sevilla now, but he was, I think, central to a lot of good things that they did in Russia. They haven't quite replaced him. They still have got capable performers in Brozovic as well as Kovacic, but those players don't give you goals from midfield. And then, of course, your other erstwhile performers, Modric, good player, but he's a bit older now, not as mobile.
Rebic has dropped off.
Rebic has dropped off as well. Perisic, he appears in games in you know what, in moments, like we saw, he scored that goal. So this is a good Croatia side, but not a great Croatia side. What I love about Japan is that they have continued, even in moments where they've been under pressure and Croatia has been sort of like dominating possession, they have been creating chances. Mm. They've had more than one or two shouts and look-ins at goal. So you never know which way things go in the last sort of like 5 minutes. Japan could just do a smash and grab.
Sneak it, exactly. If there's anyone who might sneak it, it is Japan. Right, let's recap the weekend's round of last 16 encounters.
As the stars shoot across the desert sky, the lions roar and the eagles swoop. Africa, we hunt as one.
About last night, it was a battle of the lions, the Taranga ones against the three lions of England. I guess the three lions prevailed.
A little bit of a mismatch, isn't it? Three versus one.
Three versus one, exactly.
One lion against three lions.
Against three, exactly. Now, Senegal coach Aliou Cisse bemoaned his team's defensive lapses after England brushed the African champions aside 3-0 in the World Cup last 16, admitting there had been a gulf in quality. First half goals from Jordan Henderson and Harry Kane gave Senegal a mountain to climb, and a third by Bukayo Saka in the second half ended the contest. Let's hear from Senegal coach Aliou Cisse.
A match lasts 90 minutes, and in the first half an hour we played pretty well and we created chances. Unfortunately, we didn't score. We were playing a very good England team, and you saw that in their challenges, their physical strength. We just weren't as good as we should have been, but I'm not trying to make excuses. We were missing two or three players who probably could have given us something extra, but I think we saw that there was a big difference between the teams today. We've worked for years now to be the best African side, but now we were playing a team from the top five in the world, and I think you saw the difference tonight.
Alois, I would agree with Aliou Cisse and say there was a difference in quality, but I didn't expect it to be that vast, because 3-0 is probably even compliments Senegal on the balance of play, because England was far and away the better side.
Yeah, it could have been more. To be honest, throughout the tournament, I've said that Senegal,
Chukwutadze, as Africa,
defensively, they were giving chances. Remember, I say that they gave a lot of chances to Qatar. Even Qatar, the worst team in the tournament, got chances against Senegal. They missed them. And then Ecuador got chances against Senegal. They were blowing them. And I said, a more efficient team will punish them. And I said, England won't miss so many chances like these other two. They need to sort out their defense. They didn't sort out that defense. They went straight like that, and they gave England chances. Like we're saying, it could have been more.
Yeah.
Defensively, they were not okay.
Chris, Alois is spot on, because in truth, if we want to call a spade, they're out of the tournament, so we can tell the truth now. You can listen to the show all the while. Because Edouard Mendy is off colour. He's not even getting a starting berth at Chelsea. I mean, Aretha Balaga is the one who's there. Kalidou Koulibaly is not the same player that he was. So, certainly in those two positions, you've got players that are off colour, and coming up against better quality opposition, you struggle.
And we can basically do that across the starting 11 when you're taking a look at the Senegalese squad. I think Sadio Mane definitely still a big miss for them, but I think when you're taking a look at just the gulf in quality in terms of these players, I don't think there's anything that could have been done. Yes, we can talk about they could have improved on that defence. Tactically, maybe they could have been set up better. But I think when you're looking at man for man, England versus Senegal, I think the result is pretty evident.
I agree with Chris because, listen, good. I think it's a good squad.
They play in Europe, guys.
Yeah, they play in Europe.
Yeah, but where in Europe?
But you got guys who will play for Watford, Sheffield United.
Those are the
San Anitana. those are the guys. No,
and Rayo Vallecano.
If you take the Rayo Vallecano, you take a look at even Monaco. Guys, those are not... Okay, compare them to England. Let's go to England.
Yeah.
They're starting 11. Uh-huh, yeah. Okay, so the two guys... Who are
Everton for the goalkeeper.
One Everton and one West Ham.
Yeah.
Everyone else is playing for one of the biggest teams in the world. Yeah. A top six side.
Yeah.
They're playing for teams that play regularly in the Champions League. Those, you know, those sort of competitions, they give you that know-how. They
Even
give you that
bench,
experience.
Eh?
Yeah. You know, that's why Henderson has been brought... people take a look at Henderson and they think it's about ability. No, it's more than ability. Southgate has realized that, you know what, you need players who
they
have the mindset, who know how to win things. And Jordan Henderson has been one of the players who, over the last five seasons, has won things. With Liverpool. He's played in three Champions League finals with Liverpool. Yeah. 1-1. He's won a Premier League. He's won a
Edward
clutch
Mendy
of trophies.
Has played in Champions League finals.
But his form? You talk about one player. Okay, let's go to the rest of England. How many Man City players are in the starting lineup?
Fair enough.
You know, and then they've got young Arsenal players who are high on confidence because
of the
start they've had, top of the table. Then you've got Man United players who have always done well for England. Yeah. Luke Shaw and Maguire might not be starters at Man United, but they never set a foot wrong for England. And this is going 4 years, like a span of 4 years. Maguire was one of England's best players in Russia.
Do you admit that, though, with better coaching,
I think there's another level.
Thank you.
There's another level that Senegal can hit with a better coach.
Yeah. I think in terms
of
the
even with a better coach, Senegal loses to England.
1-0.
They play 10 matches, they lose 9.
They wouldn't be that bad.
Agreed. They wouldn't lose.
They lose 2-1.
It was that bad. There are points where I couldn't watch.
Yeah,
and that's why I think it was okay.
With a more efficient team, it was going to look very bad.
The bright spark for me is Ismaïla Sarr. I think he had a phenomenal game. Our level?
No, but Mike, our level is not...
We're beneath the Europeans.
But we're not that far off, guys. For me, Argentina can lose 2-1 to England. We're not at that level.
Yes, sis.
We're not. We're not at that level. Sorry. 3-0 isn't okay. That's no level. You know, Ali Sousse subbed it up.
But now Senegal, it's a different... were even as bad against Qatar. They were bad.
That's their level. But that's their level.
Yeah, but they were bad.
Yes, that's exactly.
That's what we're saying. That when they go to England,
they're
bad.
Are we agreeing that they're bad?
Yes.
Thank you.
But let's also not fail
to realize that they've reached the last 16. That is a good achievement.
There's an improvement.
It's a good achievement.
Last time we did it, this time so there's an improvement.
Because there's an improvement.
We must acknowledge.
There are only 16 teams in the world, guys, at this level. There are only 16 teams, whether they crawled or not.
Yeah, they're bad.
Argentina crawled into the last 16.
They're bad.
Yeah. So they're one of the best 16 teams at the World Cup. Yes, but it was touch and go. They had to win.
Right, guys, let's
talk
about...
had to win, and they won.
Let's talk about happy things. France. Now, their coach, Didier Deschamps, hailed the impact of Kylian Mbappe as his second-half double gave the World Cup holders a 3-1 win over Poland to move them into the quarterfinals. Kylian Mbappe says his only concern is winning the World Cup for France despite being a leading contender to claim the Golden Boot on 5 goals.
The only objective for me is to win the World Cup. Now to win the next game, quarterfinal, is the most important thing. And that's what I dream. The only thing I dream is this. It's for that I came here. I came to win this World Cup. I didn't came here to win the Golden Ball, the Golden Boot. See, if I win it, of course, I'm going to be happy. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here to win, and I'm here to help the French national team.
Kylian Mbappe, they're talking about the fact that he wants to win the cup for France. And in truth, in this form, the way that he demonstrated this past weekend, you can't argue against it.
You really can't. I think there had been a lot of side talk and circus around Kylian Mbappe before this World Cup, and I think he's come into it incredibly focused and he's delivering. I think we're seeing the Kylian Mbappe that we consistently expect to see, and I think he's a shoe-in for the Golden Boot at this stage.
Yeah, and listen, Bill Belichick, do your job. Yeah. And now he's doing his job. Everything else before the tournament was everything else, the sideshow. But now he's showing on the green grass he can do it.
Most definitely, yeah. I think Golden Boot, he's taking both. If he goes deep. But so far, I think he's leading. Okay. You know, there is a serious competition from Lionel Messi. But when you look at his performances for France right now,
I'm still backing Messi, but I'm going to say, yeah, if he goes deep, possibly he could. But I'm still backing Messi because Lionel Messi produced a moment of trademark quality to score the opener in a 2-1 win over Australia and send Argentina into the quarterfinals. Messi's 789th goal in his 1,000th career appearance helped set up a last eight clash with unbeaten Netherlands. How many times have we seen that goal?
It was like watching a replay.
It was
a typical Messi goal. You know, he's out on the wing, you know, a quick 1-2. He makes that run, edge of the box, and he finishes with
slots
the net
it into the far post.
And he passes into the net, yeah. You know, with an airing precision. So, good goal for him. He looks focused. For me, it looks like someone who realizes that there's a job to be done. But what I love about this Argentina team is that they can play without Messi.
Yeah.
There are periods where they don't need Messi to be the catalyst. They don't need Messi to be the one who's doing the bidding. And that's what we used to see from previous teams that Lionel Messi was in, where a lot of the players used to defer to Lionel Messi and say, you know what, you are the star, you do it all. In this team, I mean, take a look at Depaul, for example. He's been absolutely phenomenal. McAllister, that midfield works very hard and they're able to do things that, you know what, the previous generation, even though more talented, were not able to do. So this Argentina side, not easy on the eye. I think they're better footballing teams. In terms of, you take a look at the way that France plays at times. I don't think France has actually been great, by the way.
I don't think Mbappe
has been excellent. Yeah. But as a team, France have not been great. They're very much dependent on the excellence of Mbappe at the moment.
Yeah.
You take a look at Brazil, the way they have played in moments. Those teams are easier on the eye.
Yeah.
More entertaining, more skillful. But I think that Argentina has got a team unit, and we saw that during the South American the Continental Championship,
the Copa America.
Brazil were the entertainers. Argentina just won it game by game. Came the final versus Brazil, won it 1-0,
did the business,
and they look like they're probably going to do it that way at this particular tournament. Reminds me a bit of Italy in 2006.
Yes,
you know, where
the
Cannavaro
one.
The Germany was playing great football. France was playing phenomenal football, but the Italians just got into a rhythm where they were just winning. Managed to get over the line. England, for me, is the team I'm looking at and thinking, you know what, they got a bit about them. They do have options. Anytime, guys, you're putting Marcus Rashford on the bench.
On the bench,
Grealish on the bench.
That's
in the form that he's.
It's really something. The depth that they've got is ridiculous. But well, star forward Cody Gakpo says the Netherlands are growing confidence at the World Cup and getting better with every game.
Anzi, talking of Messi is no longer fair. It's time for Mbappe, Vinicius Jr. and young stars, and Amadara. Well, you've got to put your hand up like Mbappe. That's what we're talking about.
And we literally were just talking about him.
Mbappe's putting his hand up and saying that I want to be talked about, and that's why we're talking about it in the same breath as Messi.
You can't talk about Vinicius Jr. just because of what he's doing at Real Madrid. No, he's not doing it at the World Cup. Yeah, we can't talk about him just because of reputation with Real Madrid and Inter Sakati.
Than Jr. right now.
100%. And listen, though, talking about golf in class, we're talking about Senegal and England. But the United States and Netherlands are golf in class there, because the Netherlands blowing the USA aside 3-1. And Chris, you got to say that football prevailed over soccer.
Nice one.
The US ambassador just turned off his
camera. You're not getting a visa after this.
I ain't going nowhere. But In truth, it's a good USA side, but they were showing their level.
Yeah, again, another team that got into the last 16, but I think when you're taking a look at the rest of the teams, like Netherlands, who made it in there just based off of quality, based off of what they were able to do, and I think to some extent, tactically as well, I think the US was certainly shown up, despite the multiple predictions on TikTok.
But I think from the sides that have been knocked out so far, the States, I think, will be happy with their performance.
Very much.
They look like they are going somewhere. They've got a very young team. And as the next hosts, I wouldn't surprise to... I give them minimum quarterfinals. They can build on the performance of this World Cup. Even in that game versus the Dutch.
Yeah.
It was just a question of the Dutch are a better team.
Absolutely.
That's it. And, you know, the quality came to the top.
Yeah.
But they were decent in patches.
Yeah, so I saw good players like Musa in midfield and then Haji Wright, the delightful...
Their captain as well.
The captain.
Phenomenal player.
Indeed. Let's talk about tonight's action. The fact that Japan and Croatia have gone to extra time. There wasn't any last minute heroics, so they're going to extra time. There's more to look forward to.
It's about willpower now,
my man. Yeah. What can carry you to the next level? Can you, those tired muscles,
strength,
that lactic acid building up in your muscles and you want to die? Who can go over the line? Right, let's talk about the other match tonight.
Style, elegance, determination, passion. Football comes alive in Qatar and on CFM Sport.
All right, now South Korea will aim to pull off yet another shock when they take on five-time champions Brazil in the last 16 showdown at Stadium 974. And the Seleção will go in quietly confident, but they'll need to be very careful because it's been a World Cup of upsets. This one might be an upset, but tonight they'll have to be careful. Will Brazil, eh?
I don't see them being upset by Chamois. To be honest,
the game. Unless you're risking people's money.
The game that I was so not sure about is the Croatia Japan match. The rest of the games in the last 16.
The form book is accurate.
They pretty look like this one. Croatia Japan is the one that is very tricky. You wouldn't know even from the beginning. I was very uncomfortable with it. But Korea, yes, we love the underdog. You know, they are suckers for upsets.
Yeah.
You know, we love it when, you know, there is an upset here and there. But I don't see it happening because I saw a fluid.
As a Brazil fan, we don't love it when they're upsets, my friend.
I think Brazil are favourites. If I, like I said, listen, if they play 10 times, I think Brazil wins it.
Nine
out of 10 times.
Yeah.
Brazil are overwhelming favourites. However, this is a South Korea side that beat Portugal.
Yes.
So for me, they do have it in them that if they play their best game, they can make it very uncomfortable for Brazil.
Yeah.
But can they play their best game?
Yeah.
That's where I have my doubts. I think Brazil will win this one. But I think, you know what? South Korea, for me, it's about scoring first. It's about trying to take Brazil into those deep, deep waters.
Deep waters, yeah.
Yeah, deep waters where they start second-guessing themselves.
76 minutes.
They start trying to rush things.
Yeah.
They start, you know, skipping midfield and things like that. But if they allow Brazil to get into a rhythm, then you can only see it going one way.
Especially with Neymar Jr. available. We don't know whether
he'll start.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think he'll start. I don't think he'll risk it.
I don't think they should risk it.
I don't think they'll risk it. I think they'll leave him on the sidelines. Anyway, tomorrow we'll be back. We'll talk about that one. And we'll also talk about tomorrow's round of 16 matches. Morocco-Spain, when we're on the show, it'll be in the second half. And then Portugal will be taking Switzerland at 9 p.m. Let's see how that one goes. Don't miss the show. May God richly bless you. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. And Andy, out.
It's Messi! It is the cleanest of clean finishes from the best on the planet.
The biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Mundled, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are Z Team on ZFM Sport.
Z.